How exciting. I love hearing on Mondays when all the campus pastors get together and we just kind of share some of the cool things going on. The Eau Claire campus, you know, before we came together and we adopted them into the First Church family, they'd been a church kind of on their own for some time, for decades, and they'd never had a baptism in the church building. They had baptized it pools or whatever, done different things, but that was the first time in their multiple decades of existence that they'd had a baptism. So it's just really cool to see life change and what God's up to across our family of churches. Take your Bible as we jump into our series, Family Matters, and continue that to turn with me to the book of James. As you're turning there, let me just give you one other thing that I just wanted to let you know going on in the life of the church. On May 5th, we have our annual church business meeting, the informational part of that. 2 weeks later then, after that informational meeting, then we'll have a voting time. I just want to let you know about that. Every year we talk about budget and kind of present that to those of you who are voting members here at First Church, and also talk about leadership for the next season and who from the lay folks who's going to be those leaders. We video that and email that out so you can know what's happening. And then, again, 2 weeks later, we'll have that vote. We'll vote by email as well. If you don't have email, that's okay. We'll give you a paper ballot, so we'll take care of all of that. I just want to let you know of what's going on. So in addition to the budget, in addition to leadership, talking about that, we've got some changes. Every few years, we look at our bylaws and just kind of tweak those. So we'll share more about those modifications to our bylaws. Then we also are going to talk about the lobby that we've talked about for several years. It is finally time to move from the land of talk to the land of do. And that's busting out this back wall, building a lobby, and making a great space that we can use on the weekend, but also all through the week to reach this community for Christ. And so we'll talk about our plan to start that and finish that project. And then finally, super excited to, we've identified a home for the men's transitional home that we think will be perfect. And so we need the church body to vote to purchase that. We've got the dollars through the grant and through what the church is going to put in. And so we've got the dollars to do that. But we need your approval to buy that home. And so excited about what God's up to. As we got to the end of the meeting this past week, this last week with our council, I said to the council at the very end, I said, in my 17 plus years here, I don't know that I've ever been part of a more consequential meeting. All the great things and what God's up to and what God's doing through us. And so just want to encourage you that God is doing just amazing things through First Church. And I know I occasionally say this, but I don't want to you ever to forget how much Crystal and I love the privilege of serving you. It's our honor. We're excited about the future and look forward to what God's up to. So thank you for the privilege of serving here at First Church. And it is the joy of our lives to serve. And thank you. Again, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of James. We're going to talk about today the art of communication. We've been looking at this series, Family Matters. We've talked about parenting and leaving a legacy. We've talked about, last week, Pastor Bill Search from a partner church out in Oklahoma. He was here with us. Wonderful message on marriage. We talked about that. And so today we want to talk about communication. And communication obviously happens inside and outside of families, but certainly it is a key part of our families. And so as we think about communication, the art of communication, the words that we choose, the way that we listen are either the building blocks or sometimes the stumbling blocks of our relationships. Communication can come in any number of forms. It can come in a chat over a dinner. It can come in a heated argument setting. It can come in a tender moment of reconciliation. Communication shapes our family dynamics. It's key. How we communicate is key to being a faithful follower of Jesus, doing it, modeling in our communication the way that Jesus communicated, the way he did it is the way that we want to do it. And so today, as we explore the art of communication, we want to talk about there's power in words. We want to talk about what it looks like to listen and to take some cues from Jesus and how he did it. And of course, in every piece of communication, we need to do it Jesus' way. And Jesus spoke with truth and grace. And we see that from Scripture. And there is, let me just tell you, there is nothing that equips you, prepares you for preaching a sermon on communication than the day before moving a piece of furniture with your wife in a space that's just a little bit larger than what it needs to be to fit this awkward piece of furniture. And so I had earlier in the day yesterday had asked Crystal, hey, I told her what we're going to be talking about today. And I said, hey, do you have any stories from our family or something that we might share? And we really were drawing a blank. And then lo and behold, God gives us the opportunity to move a piece of furniture together. And so I may or may not have almost disqualified myself to be able to speak to you with integrity on the subject of godly communication. And so I just want to say publicly that Crystal was right when she said to twist the piece of furniture this way, when I said twist it that way, and it didn't fit with the way I thought it should go. And as on further review, we did it Crystal's way, it actually did work. So publicly, Crystal, you were right. Okay. Wow, that was less painful than I thought. But, just want to publicly acknowledge that. So listen to what Scripture says, this foundational truth from the book of James. And typically, we have a very exegetical approach where we'll take a passage and we'll break it down, and the points kind of, what the truth kind of bubbles up from the text. Today, we're going to look more at the area of communication and get some help from some various different passages that so relate to communication. So listen to this foundational passage from James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Wow. We could read that, and we could sit in that, and we could let the Spirit speak to us in that, and that would probably be enough. There is so much truth, so much that we just need to just digest in that passage. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. James is challenging us with this truth that managing our communication as followers of Christ matters. Managing our communication, whether we're followers of Christ or not, matters. I was doing some research and just came across a story from history that was just reminded of. Marie Antoinette was Queen of France. And to the French people, as they were struggling in dire economic situations, maybe you remember her communication to the masses of the French people as she communicates to them as they were struggling and hungry. Do you remember her words to them? Let them eat cake. And it was that communication that illustrates how out of touch she was, that she wasn't listening to the people, that became a flashpoint for the French Revolution. And not to bury the lead, she lost her head literally as a result of her poor, graceless communication that was devoid of empathy. The results were catastrophic. So, as we think about that example, think back to what James says. Our religion, our faith, James reminds us, is impacted by our tongue. Our families are impacted by our tongue. You can say that you follow Christ. You can say that you love Jesus. You can say that you love your family. You can say all of that, but how you say what you say matters. How you listen matters. Not just what you say about what you believe, but how you say things. How you listen matters. How we communicate, that just shows the deeper truth of where we are in our following of Jesus. So let's get super practical as we look at these scriptures today. Let's just start out by reminding ourselves of the power of our words. We see at the very beginning, before this world was creation, when there was nothing but a void, and it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. And in that first chapter, we see God speaking multiple times. And each time as he spoke, there was creation. And we see in that the power of words. We're reminded of that. We're reminded that words bring life, and at times words bring death. Listen to the wisdom that we find in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And I think we've all experienced that truth in our families, in our relationships, on the job, workplace, and other places, that truth. That there is in the giving and the receiving of what comes from the tongue, there is life and there is death. We've experienced the fruit of both in our lives. Listen to what James says in James chapter 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. That's why we need God's help. No human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olive, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a small pond yield fresh water. And so just like what James has to say, this proverb that we just read reminds us of the power of the tongue. That our tongues can, and what we say, can be a blessing and they can be a curse. Our tongue is like a rudder that can steer the ship through the storms of life and can be a spark that destroys. And so when we think about how that relates in our homes, with our kids, with our spouses, with our grandkids, with, again, the people we work around, all of our relationships, we have this power to speak life into them, and we have the power to speak death into them. I think back to growing up when I was a kid. And I was later in elementary school before I realized that I actually was not the smartest kid in the world. Because my family, my mom especially, had just poured into me this idea that you know, you're awesome, you can do anything you want to do. She just continually spoke life into me. And so I just take a moment and think about your own communication. Think about what you say. Think about your tongue and the power of your words. Do they bring life? Or do they bring death? And if you find yourself saying, or maybe thinking, well, I just speak what's on my mind and people just need to deal with it. Or if you say some variation on that theme, let me just say to you, you might need a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that you're reading clearly what Scripture says, because that's not the way that a follower of Jesus, it's not the way they strive to be known and to interact. It's not communication that honors God. This idea, I just say what's on my mind and people just need to deal with it. Let's continue as we think about this art of communication. And in this art of communication, we need to make sure also, we think about the power, but we also need to appreciate the benefits of active listening. We've all been around those people that, as we're in communication with them, as we're maybe in a conversation with them, they're not really listening to what we're saying. They're thinking about what they're going to say next. And we know the difference. We know when people, we can discern when people are actually, they care about what we're saying versus when they're just trying to figure out what they're going to say next. There's a difference. Active listening is different. We've all been frustrated in those moments where the person, again, they're not really thinking about what we're saying. They're not really interacting, not really thinking about it. They're just trying to win the argument, make their point. And I think a lot of times when we're in some position of authority, whether that's a parent to a child, whether that's a grandparent to a grandchild, whether that's maybe a boss to a subordinate in some way, whether that's an older person to a younger person, we have the tendency not to engage in active listening. But I want you to just consider, just for a moment, consider the example of Jesus. Think about how he, and just go back through, and you can read some of the examples later, but just go back through and think about and look at the way Jesus interacted, the way that he communicated, the way that he, in conversations, what did he do? How did he do it with the woman at the well? Or how did he do it with the woman caught in adultery? How did he interact? What was his conversation like with the rich young ruler? Think about the way that he listened. Think about the way he interacted. Think about the way that he asked questions and he listened to what they said. And then he would move the conversation based on what they said. And then he would interact with them based on what they were saying. And Jesus knew everything. But yet he engaged them, actively listening. Here's how active listening can be defined. It's the skill of listening where we give our full attention to the person that we're in conversation with. We're seeking to understand them. We're trying to respond thoughtfully to them. We're really trying to hear what they're actually saying. And we can do that through verbal things and nonverbal things. Crystal has said to me on more than one occasion, David, can you just nod as I'm talking to you? Can you just like look me in the eye and just acknowledge that you hear what I'm saying? And I'm sure I'm the only one that has ever heard that, but we do that. We have that tendency. So I know it's something I need to work on. So what is active listening? It's about being attentive. It's about being present in the moment. It's not messing with our phones or reading the paper, depending on our generation. It's body language. It's eye contact. It's nodding. It's facial expressions that communicate that we're listening, that we're seeking to hear. It's asking clarifying questions so that we really understand, so we don't get it wrong. It's reflecting back. It's working to show empathy as we listen and communicate. It's just demonstrating care and concern. Listen to the wisdom, again, that we find in James. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so he's just reminding us that listening does matter, that we need to be quick to listen. You know, in this passage, James has been talking to them, talking to us about God's word and the importance of God's word, that we need to listen to God's word, but it also applies to all of our relationships. It applies in our conversations. It applies in our communication that we should be quick to listen, quick to hear. That word translated from the Greek, quick, implies speed, yes, but also implies readiness, that we need to be ready to hear. Maybe there's some pain that we're working through, some emotions that we're working to, and we're in communication with someone, but because of that pain, because of those emotions, we're not ready to listen. What's James say? Let every person be quick to hear, but sometimes we're not ready to listen. Or maybe there's some really intense emotions. Maybe there's some anger in this communication, in this relationship at the moment. And so it makes it difficult to listen when there's all of that emotion. And something that I found really helpful for me in my life is just the principle that when our emotions are high, whatever they are, then our ability to reason is low. And so even when we're right, when our emotions are high, whatever those emotions are, again, it impacts our ability to reason and impacts our ability to have a positive outcome even when we're right. So we need, like James tells us, what does he say? To be slow to anger. So in other words, we need to have our emotions under control. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We need to strive to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James says, slow to speak, which is another way just to say you need to practice some active listening. We need to actively listen to the person, to give space for the Spirit to lead us, to help us, to interact in that conversation so that we're trying to be led by the Spirit, to be slow to speak, have some Spirit-seeking pauses in our communication. Let's think about that practically. One of the things that I found that also is helpful as we are active listeners is this thing that we see through Scripture. And as I've gotten older, I've come to realize just how, or even more and more and more, how important it is, and that's humility. Humility is so important, so vital in all these different areas of our life. And we see throughout Scripture this idea, but as we bring that into our communication, our active listening. And I love, when we think about humility, I love when some truth in Scripture that then we see it in the world, that studies or whatever, and then they say, oh, well, you probably didn't know, but, you know, blank, whatever, fill in the blank. And there's a great book, it's from years ago, Collins wrote the book, Good to Great. And in that book, they did a study of these organizations, these big companies that had moved from good companies to great companies. What were the common denominators that set apart the great companies, that enabled them to become great companies? And they did extensive research, and after this extensive research, one of the characteristics of companies, again, that moved from good companies to great companies, that separated the two, was what Collins wrote, level 5 leadership. And level 5 leadership is defined this way by Collins. It's a powerful mixture of personal humility and intense professional will. Top leaders display personal humility. The Scripture, Jesus modeled that long before Collins wrote a book. The truth of Scripture, long before that was in some management tomb that's on the leader's shelf all over the country. This idea of humility. And how can we bake that into our communication? It takes humility to actively listen. It takes humility when we think that we're right, be willing to listen. It takes humility even when we're mostly right, when we're 75 or 80% right, but still we're able to listen and acknowledge humbly that, you know what, I know I shouldn't have said it that way, or no, I shouldn't have done that, or you're right on that. Humility. Humility helps us. Our culture, on the other hand, looks at humility and where we see it as we follow Christ, it has a supreme value. It's just the exact opposite in our culture. Where our culture doesn't value it, and it seems like just the opposite with what is espoused as important in interactions in our culture. Proverbs 12:15 says it this way, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. In other words, a wise person is humble enough to listen. And then the final practical point as we think about this art of communication is that we need to practice communicating with grace and truth. And when we communicate with grace, it's just that idea that we're considerate and we're kind and we communicate in a loving way. And then as we think about truth, as we communicate with truth, it's not necessarily always just giving people what they want to hear, but in those moments rooted in God's word, it's helping people and giving people what they need to hear. It's communicating with honesty and integrity. It's what it says of Jesus in John 1:14, of him, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full, speaking of Jesus, full of grace and truth. I heard a story of a young college young man, and he'd really just been blowing it in school, and his dad, he'd got word again that he'd messed up, and so his father was just, he was kind of done, and so he's just going to let his son have it. This is going to be a truth conversation. He was talking to a friend of his, a fellow believer, a friend of his, and he says, I'm just letting him have it. I'm up to here with him. And his friend, under, the still small voice of the Spirit, speaking to his friend, who then speaks to his father, he says, you know what, as I'm just kind of thinking about it, I just wonder if you just need to maybe lead with grace instead of truth. And so the father thought about that, and instead of going and just letting his son have it, he went into the conversation. He said, son, with what's going on in school, it just seems like that there's just something that's not quite right. What's really going on? Can we just talk about what's really going on? And that opened this floodgate where the son felt like he could talk to his dad. And he opened up about this career choice that he thought he wanted. And he just said, hey, Dad, and his dad traveled some. And he said, can I just take a little break? And you and I just, can I go with you? And we just travel. And he did that. And he, the father just talks about how critical that was, that just totally changed the trajectory of his son's life and their relationship. There are times when we need to lead with truth, absolutely. And there's other times we need to lead with grace. The interesting thing is, when we are led by the Spirit, that even in those moments when we are leading with truth, it becomes a grace, a blessing in the life of that other person. I like what Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Ephesus, where he carries this thought. He says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Building up as fits the occasion. So some occasions call for grace, and some occasions call for truth. That term in the Greek is talking about communication that's needed. So when he says as fits the occasion, he's saying what that conversation, what that interaction, what it needs. And when we are giving what is needed, then that is grace. It's a big dose of grace, even though it may be filled with truth. And so Paul says something similar to the church in that's written, recorded in Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech always be generous, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So we deliver truth with grace. And at times, as we think about that and we think about the interactions, how we deliver it matters. As we are walking in step with the Spirit, as we are living our lives like Jesus, as we're interacting with people like Jesus did, as we apply these principles in our relationships, then our speech can always be gracious, even when we're delivering truth. As Paul says, how we answer matters. The how matters, how we answer matters, how we communicate matters, how we listen matters. So let me just summarize real quick. And as I summarize, I just want to invite you to invite the Spirit to speak to you. What's God saying to you today? What's He saying to you as we talk about considering the power of words? That our words have the power to bring life and our words have the power to bring death into people's lives. How are you doing as you think about, as you consider your own interactions, as you evaluate your conversations? Second thing, as we think about appreciating the benefits of active listening, are you building space to actively listen to the person and also the Spirit in your communication? Do you find yourself getting really emotionally worked up, and do you recognize at times when you do that your ability to reason and have a reasonable conversation is really low, and maybe just to ask for God's help in discerning when you're getting a little beyond where you need to be in a conversation so you can kind of back off and let the emotion come down? Have you maybe been challenged, as we talked about humility, that's something you need to bake back into your interactions with people, a little more humility? What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you as we talk about practicing communicating with grace and truth? Are you all about truth? How we share truth matters. Grace and truth. Sometimes those conversations need more grace. Other times they need more truth. Are you allowing the Spirit to lead? Matthew 20, or verse 12, verse 36, as we conclude. "I tell you," these are the words of Jesus, "on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak." It's a pretty serious reminder from our Savior that words matter and that we will give an account. So where is God speaking? Where is God convicting as our worship team comes back up? What's God saying to you? We all have work to do. The world is watching. Our families are watching. In the back of the room, in the corners, we've got prayer team members, and if you have a need, whatever it is, whether it's related to what we've talked about or not related to what we're talking about, nobody's going to assume that you're horrible at this if you go back to have somebody pray with you, okay? We'll just all agree to that. So if you have a need, though, we'd love to have the privilege of praying with you about whatever that is. And let me just conclude with this. Some of you are here today, and maybe you are not yet a follower of Jesus. The most important communication, arguably ever, was the communication where God left for us to know, as He communicated with humanity for all time, that's recorded in His Word in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. To think about the great lengths that God went to send Christ so that we could have life, so that we could be a part of his family, so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters of the Father, our Heavenly Father. And so today, if you've never put your faith in Christ, or maybe you wandered away and it's time to come home, and today can be that day, I'm going to pray with you in just a minute. On the seat in front of you is that QR code, and you can use it to let us know that you're inviting Christ to be your Savior. We'd love to walk with you. We'd love to help you on that journey. Use that QR code. We'd love to help you with that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just give us wisdom, that you would help us, God, to discern, Father, how you are speaking to us, how you're convicting us. And Father, I just want to pray for that person that maybe is here today and just recognizes, God, that they need you in their life, that they recognize this wonderful communication from you is that you love us and you care for us and you want to be in relationship with us. And so, Father, as we confess our sin and turn to you and embrace your Son as our Savior, I thank you, God, for you and making us part of your family. Thank you, Father. And God, for those of us who maybe have walked with you for some time, but there's just some things that we've learned today, some things that we've been convicted of today. There's, as we think about our interactions today, I pray that you would help us to know what we need to do and not do and how we can get better and how we can represent you better in our world and in our relationships and in our communication. Speak to us now in the final moments as we worship, and we pray in Jesus' name.